Today's learning should be a tzchus before shleim from Moshe Osher ben Hendel and Yeshua David ben Frumit. Okay. Very big kids, in this week's parasha is something Chaim Yeshua ben Hendel before shleim as well. I don't want to be insulted or okay. I don't want to make anyone upset. I want to make anyone happy. Okay. This week's parasha will tell you a fascinating story, which shows you that as much as history is in the past, people don't change. There was a very famous Rav, the Rav of the Lodz community, was Rabbi Leo Chaim Meizel, was the Rav of Lodz. Big goin. Not much talked about him. He died in about 1912. He got smicha from the Beis Halevi when he was like 11 or something. He was a big Eloi. So there was a fellow who came to shul one Shabbos. He used to have a meeting in Lodz. They used to give the aliyahs to certain people. The rabbi got, really, I'm having trouble with this. The rabbi got shishi, and other guys got shlishi. There was a whole division of the aliyahs. And one guy showed up, and he decided that he wants to get the aliyah that he's not supposed to get. And he was a wealthy guy, and you know the way wealthy people sometimes can be. They want what they want. And they told him no. And he punched the guy in the face, decked the guy in the face. Okay. So after Shabbos, they came to the Rav and they said to him, listen, you know, maybe we should change the policy. Maybe we should stop giving out kibudim for anyone. We shouldn't give out to choshuva people. We shouldn't give out to wealthy people. So the Leo Chaim said, no. He said he thinks it's still kedai to get people to come to shul just so they can get some kavod. He said, it's kedai. If I stop that, so then the wealthy people won't come to shul either. And once in a while, people come to shul just so they can, you know, be show that they're mechubad. You know, I often tell people that you can tell a lot by the people in shul. The guys who come to shul make everyone crazy. They make the rabbi crazy, the gabbai crazy. That's because when they go home, the wife makes them crazy. So it's the only place that they can actually have like a platform. It's a nein or inu. It's public minus. It's tested and tried. I have it by me. I can tell you. The guys that when they go home, the wife, you know, bosses them around. They come to shul, they boss everyone around. Why? Because it's the only place they get to boss people around. So they come to that. They boss the rabbi around. They boss the gabbai. They boss everyone around. So Rabbi Chaim said, it's kedai sometimes to let these people come to shul, because let them throw around their money, so they'll come and they'll be big hatchats, but lemais, at least they'll come to shul. That was his line. But I think one of the messages of the parasha is by far the keruvim. Perhaps one of the most interesting clay ha-mishkan was the keruvim. The most interesting part is that they were faces of children. Now, if you had to pick, you know, a picture of someone to put up in the holiest of holy, it wouldn't be two kids. You put up two elderly people, two gedolim, two, you know, white beard fellows. Why two children? So I think the idea of the children, there's many pshat, many people talk about this. This is not my kasha. Shmozovsky has a piece about this. Many others talk about it. But I think one of the lessons of the children is the innocence of children. We mentioned this before. Children are very innocent. They don't see things like we do. They don't have pre-existing feelings and political views and hashkafic outlooks. They don't know anything. They're kids. You give them a ball, they'll play. You give them a jump rope, they'll play. They don't really care so much about all the backgrounds. So the Torah is reminding us that maybe we have to sometimes tap into our youth again and not be so, I see people with this way and that way and this community and that background. We see everyone as people. And the other thing which I find interesting about children, at least my children, maybe other people's children as well, children get over things a lot faster. Like two kids can be fighting the next minute, they're best friends. Adults, forget it. If you ba'aveled me 5 years ago, forget it. I'm not talking to you, loyal and void. Kids get over this much faster. 5 minutes ago, the kids are fighting the next minute, they're best of friends. It's a funny thing with kids. Why? Because they're not so caught up in all these things that we get so caught up in. So maybe the Torah is reminding us with the keruvim that we have to sometimes act a little bit more like children. Go back to our youth and live our lives like the children. Right? Children are willing to change. Adults don't want to change. How many times have I heard from people, this is who I am, take it or leave it. Half the times I want to say, I'll leave it then, if that's the way you are. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attitude is, if this is the best you're going to give me, then I don't need you. Children are willing to grow. They don't know everything. They're willing to be educated and to be taught. Adults are stuck. We're so stuck in our way. This is the way I've been doing it for 25 years. Don't change. Okay, so I think the Torah is reminding us that the beauty of Klai Yisrael was our fact that we are willing to change, willing to grow, willing to improve. Okay, everybody, so we left off last week with a kasha. So again, just remind ourselves, we have a sugya called Akira Tzarech Hanocha. What was our gemar? Okay, a guy throws a chetz, the chetz goes 4 amos, and in the middle of the root, and 2 amos in, it rips a shirt. So again, the Shabbos you not chayv until it goes to Dalar Amos. Now we're talking about Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Havar is Dalar Amos, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. You need to have an Akira and the Hanocha that goes at least Dalar Amos. So the Gemara says, when it hits the 2 amos mark, it rips the shirt. So the Gemara says, Kim Lebed Ramine. So the Gemara wants to know, what Kim Lebed Ramine? There's no Hanocha until it goes another 2 amos. So there's no Chiyuv Shabbos at this point. So how's it Kim Lebed Ramine? So the Gemara comes up with a chap in the name of Rebbe Avin called Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Again, we spoke about this at length in previous shurim. It means that since when I started the procedure, it was all one. It's considered one big mice. Since in order to throw an arrow, you have to first shoot an arrow, and every shooting arrow ends off somewhere, even though it didn't get there yet. But we look at this as everything happens b'vazachas. It's one long process. Similar idea, right? Basically, the idea that when you shoot an arrow, it's going to eventually rest. So even though it didn't rest at this point, we consider it as if it's all happening at the same time. So Tysus had a kasha from a Gemara in Baba Kama. That's what we'll start off again with today. It says Tysus, kasha. I'm not going to go through the whole Tysus. I just want to get to the kasha and the basic teretz. I'm only bringing this Tysus to get to a Steven and Rambam. Okay, that's the real yeshivish way of learning today. We're only going to bring in Tysus so we can get to a Steven and Rambam. But Tysus has a kasha of a Gemara in Baba Kama. What's the Gemara in Baba Kama? The second line in Tysus. The Gemara over there has a case, without getting into all the nitty gritties of the case over there, the Gemara talks about if a guy steals and sells b'shabbos, so he's potter. Why? Going, the Gemara wants to know, how's it shayich that you're mechalel Shabbos by selling? Again, we know buying and selling is a rabbinic prohibition. Midday Rice is no issa to buy and sell things. You can go shopping on Shabbos. So what issa would there be in Kim Levi D'Rambanei? You want to come up with Kim Levi D'Rambanei? What? Right, it's Xer D'Rabbanan Mechira, but it's not an issa D'Rice. I mean, there'd be no Kim Levi D'Rambanei on an issa D'Rabbanan. Right, you know, the guy violates Muktzah, he's not going to have Kim Levi D'Rambanei because he doesn't get misa for violating Muktzah. So how do you have a case that there'll be a mechira that will involve in issa? So the Gemara comes up with a creative case. They come up with a case that the way he's going to sell it is through throwing it into your chatzar. Throwing it into the chatzar involves haitza. I'm going to take it from my backyard. I'm going to throw it into your backyard. Your backyard is going to be one rishus. I'll have it in another rishus. It'll be a form of haitza merishus l'rishus. Okay, so the Gemara says it's Haitzah Mershos L'Rishos, that's Asar on Shabbos. So at the same time, I'm throwing you the Gneva, you're going to be Kain the Gneva, that's the Mechira, and I'll violate Shabbos by throwing the thing to your Chatzar.
That's with the Raiser from when?
So it's, the Gemara is assuming, we'll get into this more today, it's somehow the way it's going to be thrown would be some form of Haitzah Mershos L'Rishos. It would have to be from a Rishos HaYachid to a Rishos HaRabim or vice versa, because again, from one Rishos HaYachid to another Rishos HaYachid is not necessarily the rice. So the Gemara over there has a kasha. Frank, the Gemara, uparich, the Gemara has a problem. Mechimot la'avi chatzei rekono, u'mischai b'navshoi le'havei ad, u'mischai b'navshoi mishum Shabbos le'havei ad shetanuach. The Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara says you got a problem over it. There's a technical problem. They don't happen at the same time. Why? When you throw the Gneva into the chatzer, so the moment the Gneva hits the avir ha-chatzer, the chatzer is already kainit. Right? Chatzer goes ad l'rakia. So if I throw something into the airspace of your chatzer, the moment it hits the airspace, it's already kainit. But for Shabbos, it needs to have a hanocha in the chatzer. So frek the Gemara, it doesn't happen at the same time. That's the Gemara Baba Kam. Frek Taisus, I don't get it. Umay parich, v'akia tzarech hanochihi. Frek Taisus, I don't understand what the Gemara is talking about over there. Once you have the premise of Akira Tzarech Hanocha, that fixes all the problems. Akira Tzarech Hanocha makes it that at the time when I throw the Gneva, because again, you can't throw a Gneva without it resting. Everything that goes up has to come down. So the moment I threw the Gneva into your Chatzar, so Eina Chanami, you're right. At the time when I threw it, when it's mid-ear, when it's in the ear, it's not yet Munach, but I look at it as if it's Munach. Just like when you shoot the arrow and it hits the shirt two amis in, it's not Munach yet. We're going to talk about a similar case like that. We'll see the interesting Rambam about that. We're going to come back to that. Here we're thinking, just doing a typical throw, right? Right? So you throw the chefetz, so while it's in the ear, coming down, it's kilu, it's munach. So if it's kilu, it's munach, so then everything happens at the same time.
But it has to be what Jay said, because you said from Rishus, Yachad is not this. So what's the case?
Okay, we'll come back. Could be he's in Rishus Rambam. Right, the guy stole it. He's standing in the middle of the street, mm-hmm. And then from the street he throws it into the guy's backyard.
It's strong enough to go through Rishus Rambam and end up in Rishus Yachad, then you have the Yachad
Correct. Correct. That would be true. Right.
But this case is
Rishus Rami Shosiyah. This case is Haitzah Mershos. Typical. You have to work out that, you know, the pashas would be he stole it. He's standing in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. Then he throws it into the Rishus Yah. So, Frek Taisvis, what happened to Akiyot Tzarech Hanoch? So, without getting back into the whole nitty gritty of Taisvis, so Taisvis gives a very simple answer. Machloikis. Our Gemara, our din of Akiyot Tzarech Hanoch, which was made up by Reb Avin, argues with that Gemara. It's Machloikis Asugyas. Which means, if you hold of this Gemara Baba Kama, you don't hold of our Gemara. If you hold of our Gemara, you don't hold the Gemara Baba Kama. The two sugyas do not work together. Okay. And we have no problem with that. The Shita Mekubetz gives a second teretz. The Shita Mekubetz gives another teretz to Taisus' Kasha. He writes, number two, V'tiretz HaRosh. He quotes from the Rosh, and he says, Hasam, B'perek Merubo, Loidam Yelahi Klal. The case in the Gemara Baba Kama where I'm throwing Geneva into your Chatzar has nothing to do with our Gemara. Why? Tahocha, in our Gemara, Neschavan Lezorik Arba. In our Gemara, I wanted the arrow to go Dal Ramas. And that was the plan. It happened to be that mid-route, it hit a shirt and ripped a shirt. Over there, by the case, my intention was not to throw it in the air. My intention was to throw the Gneva into the Chatzar. And this was the Gemara's Kasha. Meaning the Gemara's Kasha was like this. My intention was when I threw the Gneva to you was one thing. I want you to own it. I wanted to make a sale because I wanted to make money and I wanted to be done with it. So therefore what? I didn't care how it ends up by you. It's not my business. It's not my issue. All I want is that the chayfet should be considered nikna to you.
But do we care what his kavanah
is? Oh, so there is an element of Shabbos called melechas machshavos. Ulein Shabbos ein mechoyev ashis chavin shetanuach b'chatzer. So it says the Shidim Kubetzes, that's the difference between the two Gemaras. In our Gemara, when you shot the arrow, you wanted the arrow to go 4 amos. You wanted to make a hanoch. You wanted everything to happen. Then we say, Akir, it's our hanoch. But over here, he writes, Ulein Shabbos, Ein Mechoyv Achi Chavin, Shetanuach B'chatzer. I didn't need it to be monach in the Chatzer. I could care less what happens in the Chatzer. As far as I'm concerned, it never needs to make a hanoch in the Chatzer. Why? Because once it's nikne, I don't care what happens after that. Once it gets into the avir of his Chatzer, it's not my problem anymore. Let it blow up in the middle of the year. I don't care. I don't need a hanocha. And we know it, without a hanocha, you don't have a Shabbos. Therefore, says the Shidduch Kubetz, it's felt in Melechas Mach Shabbos.
Like a secret
Shabbos. So even though you can argue that, you know, whatever comes up has to come down, but he says that if in mid-route something would happen to the grave, he doesn't care. He could care less.
You say the same thing in the shirt case. I meant to shoot his shirt. I didn't care about it.
No, you meant to shoot an arrow. You zarek chetz l'sayich
dalet. But to destroy his shirt.
That wasn't my intention necessarily. It was to destroy a shirt. I wanted to shoot an hour for Amos. For the Shabbos part. For the Melechus Shabbos.
So there was good because I was really
that's right. So there I have Melechus. That's right. So in the case of our Gemara, I have Melechus Shabbos. I wanted this outcome and this outcome came. But over here, I didn't want the outcome of Munach and the Chatzar.
By the way, where do we know this from that the Avera Chatzar is like as if it's Munach? Is it Exeris Akasav or what?
For Kenyan?
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm from. Gemara says it for Dava Pashat. Could be to Gemara somewhere. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That the Chatzar is kind of even just the Avira
Chatzar. It's a very unique concept.
But it makes sense if you understand Chatzar is Rishos.
You own a building. Sometimes you own the air rights. Sometimes you don't own the air rights. So that's what I'm wondering. How do we know that?
It makes sense that if you the Chatzar is Rishos, so it's an extension of your Rishos.
Not so Pashat.
What do you mean?
Real estate, the way it works is, in other words, there's the building and then there's the air rights. Sometimes you buy the air rights, sometimes you don't.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So how do we know, is it Dover Poshet, that it's...
Say, in your backyard, would anyone disagree that you don't have the airspace in your backyard? Building's on top.
It depends. If I'd be, let's say, in a commercial area, I could sell that airspace to somebody else to build on it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. You're right, in a residential area. That's what I'm saying. How do we know it's
I'm not sure. Poshet? I mean, I would assume that the lumnus would have been that it's an extension of my rishos. But again, these could be these are Gemaras.
The same thing, Dalai Lama
Shalom,
it's my area.
Right, the Chiddush of Dalai Lama is even in Rishas Rabbim.
Yeah.
The Chiddush of Dalai Lama is.
There, works, certainly by my
Chatzar. That thing, I would have assumed that not knowing too much is just an extension of your property. But maybe, there are probably figures that I'm definitely not familiar with.
Fly right over our backyards. We don't know what the airspace is.
But Rabbi, you said it's my airship. If I throw Zorik into her shush, it's your
upstairs. Right. Once it hits the Avira Chatzar, right. So Zok the sheet of Avila Kimo Yitzchav, okay, good. So he said like this. So in the case of Baba Kama, you're missing Melechas Mach Shabbos because you didn't get what you wanted the Shabbos to Aser. Meaning, Shabbos Aser, again, we'll have to talk maybe a little bit more about this at one point. Melechas Mach Shabbos is a big Yisoid in Shabbos. So in order for Melechas Mach Shabbos, it has to be that I intended to violate the Shabbos. So when I threw the Chayfetz Dal Ramas, I intended to throw the arrow Dal Ramas. But over here, I didn't intend the Chayfetz to be Monach. I don't need Hanocha. Hanocha is not irrelevant for my conclusion. Which means lefizet, it's a kasha even with Rav. Meaning, you don't have to say like Taishas, the two sugyas argue. The two sugyas can work together. It's just the problem over here was a Melechas Machsheva's problem. Okay. Now, there's a third teretz that we talked about last week from the Me'iri. And the Me'iri is as vague can be. The Me'iri number 3 is in Baba Kama Dafayim and Beit. He goes through the whole sugya. He says that the Gemara in Baba Kama doesn't work with the Gemara in Ksubis, but it's not a kasha. And he says the last line of the Me'iri is amazing. He says, why? She'ein oimrim kein elo l'nezikin. We only say akir tzarech hanoch when it comes to damage. Aval le'inyan mechir aloi. But not when it comes to selling things.
Now this works better when you explain the sheet and kibetzes. Because now there's this difference. between where you.
Lechus machsheves.
In the shooting, you're
you could learn.
And the Zeke in there doesn't matter. Right. Because you could be Adamu La'ola.
You could learn the fee this, before, based on this, Shiduka Betz, that's Pshan this Mi'iri. Because well, what's the cash on the Mi'iri? The Mi'iri makes a distinction which is hard to understand. He says, we only say Akir Tzach Hanach when the thing you did was midrut was damaged. But if you want to use Akir Tzach Hanach to justify a sale, no, we don't say it. And therefore, the Gemara Baba Kama, what he wanted to do was he wanted to sell something via Akir Tzach Hanach. In the case of our Gemara, he ripped a shirt via Akir Tzach Hanach. So Akir Tzach Hanach only works for damage, doesn't work for selling. So the obvious kasha is, what's the difference? What's the difference?
Because it answers the
machshavas
on
Shabbos. Oh, okay, good, we'll get to it. Very good. So if Akir Tzach Hanach is a physical thing, which is the way some Rishonim clearly went to argue Gemara and Ksubis, it's a physical thing that in order to drop something, it needs to be picked up. So then the Mi'iri is very hard to understand. What's the difference? If when you throw something, it has to be picked up in order to be thrown, so to when you want to sell something, it has to be picked up in order, if you're selling it, you want to transfer it, it needs to be picked up before, and then ultimately rest. So we just saw from the Shidim Mekubetz that the Shidim Mekubetz has told us that there's a difference between Mechira and Nezikin because in Melachas Machshevs. Now, it's a shtickle shver that the words he chose that aren't really the right words. He should have said, Hasa Melechas Machshevis, you know, something like that. But you could plug it back in and say that by the case of Mechira, my Machshava is for just to make a Mechira. I don't care where the Chavetz ends. I don't care where the Chavetz ends up. Therefore, it's not Melechas Machshevis. But by Nezikin, my intention was to shoot an arrow, and there was an arrow in the middle, and therefore it is, again, maybe you could kvetch into the Miri, you know, what we just said. But the bigger problem over here is there's a Stira in Rambam. Why is there a Stephen Rambam? Because we have two Rambams, mamish, two halachas apart from each other. Rambam number one is number four, Zakti Rambam. Ketzad zari chetz b'shabbos mitchilas arba lusoif arba. Says the Rambam, what's the case where you throw an arrow exactly four amis, the korah beged chaver b'alichosei and rips his friend's shirt midway, oish hit the goddish chaver b'shabbos, okay, we don't need those cases. Says the Rambam at the end of all of it, the case is your potter, minatashlumin. Says the Rambam, Mamishab Ovin's Din. The Rambam says, Vizari Chet Mitzchilas Dal, Saif Dal, you rip a shirt in the middle, that is Kimle B'Diramine. How's that Kimle B'Diramine? Because of the notion of Akiva Tzorach Anochar Reb Ovin's Din. So that's okay. That's our Gemara. No problems. The problem is, look at the next Rambam, number five. Look at the Rambam. Go Navu Mocha B'Shabbos. If a person steals and he sells on Shabbos, Oyshe Mocha, Lavoy Dezorah, okay, that's not a gate to us. Chayiv L'Shalom, Tashlume, Arba V'Chamisha. He has to pay. Dal V'He. She'ein B'Mechira Misa. Because there's no Shabbos, there's no Kimlei in the Mechira. But V'Nasis Malocha B'Shabbos Be'ez HaMechira. But let's say he made it that at the time when he does the Mechira, he's also violating the Shabbos. How? How would he do this? The Rambam explains. He makes up with the guy that I don't want it to be kind of with Avir Chatzir. I don't want it to be kind. Avada, I know Avir Chatzir Shalom kind. But I stipulate, I make a condition, I don't want it to be kind until it's Monach Bekarka. Therefore, says the Rambam, in that case, Yitaka Ev Kim Lebed Rambamine. Because in that case, everything happens at the time of Hanocha, Kim Lebed Rambamine. So what's the problem with this Rambam? The Rambam is very clear that without stipulation, if you just do a regular sale, the sale takes place in Ir. The Shabbos starts when it's Monach, no Kim Lebed Rambamine. Right? Like the Gemara and Baba Kama. The only problem is, how could you tell me that the Rambam holds of Reb Ovin of Akir Tzorach Hanocha, yet when it comes to the case of Mechir, he doesn't hold of Akir Tzorach Hanocha? So Tosfos gave us the Teretz. Oh, the two Gemaras argue on each other. But the Rambam is bringing down both Gemaras.
The Meiri, though.
So he's going to have to mean like the Meiri. But what does the Meiri mean? That's what the Achreidim all say. All the Achreidim's point is to learn the Rambam with the Meiri. So we got to first figure out what the Meiri means. But I just want to bring out the Stephen Rambam. The Rambam holds of the Sugya of Akir Tzorach Hanocha, and the Rambam holds of the Gemara Baba Kama, which says that you don't have Kimlei because we don't say Akir Tzorach Hanocha. So which one is it? So the obvious answer is like the Meiri. There's a difference between the case of Mechir and the case of Zikin. What is that difference? So we talked last week about it from Reb Naftali Trump. Reb Naftali Trump had a pshat to be Mechalik. Reb Naftali Trump wanted to say that there's two types of Kimlei B'Diramines. What's the two types of Kimlei B'Diramines? And this we know already. We know this. There's the one type of Kimlei B'Diramines that's totally in the Maisa. One Maisa with two Chiyuvim. That's the classical Kimlei B'Diramines. Guy shoots a gun, rips a shirt, kills a person. One Maisa, Kimlei B'Diramines. But says Reb Naftali, there's a second type of Kimlei B'Diramines. That's when you do two Maisim simultaneously at the same time. That's like Zor Shal Chatruma, the Karish Yerayim Shal Chaver. I'm doing two actions. I'm ripping a shirt while eating Chumah. But what's the chiddush over there? The other chiddush is that when a person does two maisim at the same time, the Torah is not mechayvim. So, Grad, if you remember, we want to be Masber, that's a more of a din in the Gavra. Right? One person can't be Chayiv two things. As opposed to when it's one Maisa, then one Maisa can't be Mechayiv two Chiyiv. Okay, we talked a lot about this. We'll come back to it probably as well. So, therefore, says Rav Naftali, those are the two types of Kim Levi Dirabinis. That's not a Chiddush. That's Kim borrowed from the Gemara. When you learn Ksubis, you see that in the Gemara. The Chiddush, what he wants to say now, is says Rav Naftali, that's number six. Says Rav Naftali, when do we apply Akira Tzarech Hanocha? Says Rav Naftali, we can only apply Akira Tzarech Hanocha when it's one Maisa. Akira Tzarech Hanocha only makes sense when you did one act, and in that one act you did two, and that one act, two things happened, we can connect that long act by saying Akira Tzarech Hanocha. However, if you're going to have two separate Maisim, taking place simultaneously, and you're going to try to come up with a case of Akira Tzarech Hanocha, it's not going to work. How would that be? That's the Haflos Kasha. Why can't it be the guy shoots the arrow, right? And the arrow's traveling. The arrow's now at the 2 alma mark. At the 2 alma mark, he rips the shirt. Say the same Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Meaning the same way, when the arrow rips the shirt midway in the 2 alma mark, I'm chayiv because Akira Tzarech Hanocha. I rip the shirt over here, while the chayfetz is in the 2 alma mark. Say the same Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Why? The same way, again, you're telling me, there's no Chiyuv Shabbos over here, because it's only 2 Amos.
No, when you do it that way, there's two total end results. Meaning, here, one is on the arrow when you shoot it, so Mamela, it's going to come in 4 Amos. That happens a little later. When I'm ripping the shirt, when I hit the 2 Amma mark, then I'm Chayiv right now.
I think, but when it hits the shirt in the 2 Amma mark, I'm also Chayiv now for the moment.
You're chayv in a moment, but not for the Shabbos, so therefore can't.
I'm not chayv for the Shabbos. No, I'm not chayv for the Shabbos now either.
Sure, you are. You said you're ripping it simultaneously. You're
not chayv for the ripping of the shirt.
1 second. Didn't you say you're hitting it at the 2 alma mark? Yeah. So when it hits the 2 alma mark,
I rip a shirt.
I rip a shirt. Right. So now I'm chayv Shabbos, but
No. You're not chayv Shabbos ripping a shirt. That's the Nezikin. We spoke way back in the beginning of the sugya. Why are you not chayv? That was the kasha we brought down from Reb Chaim Moizer. Had that kasha. Why are you not chayv for Shabbos for ripping the shirt?
Right,
we spoke about it, right? That's right, that we said. Right, we said it wasn't the mice over there. We spoke about the first year we had that kash. The shurim is just mominous. Just mominous. So, in fact, the hafla, I don't get it. You have the same chiddush of Akira Tzarech Hanocha where the chavit's going to Amos, and then I rip it right now. Same chiddush. What's the chiddush? The chiddush that even though the chavits didn't go dalar Amos and it's not monach yet, what kilo it's monach. So if it's kilo it's monach, and I'm ripping a shirt, it's the same thing.
But does it have to be the same maaser?
So that was the haflos kasha. Says Reb Naftali, according to me, it's very geshmak. Why? Because according to me, in order to say Akira Tzarech Hanocha, it only is true when it's one maaser. It's be one maaser. Here it's two separate maaser. Then I don't say Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Okay, that's very geshmak. Says Reb Naftali, you only say Akira Tzarech Hanocha when it's one mice, and therefore, in the case of the Hafla, it wouldn't be one mice, it would be two mice. So let's go back to our Gemara for a second. Says Reb Naftali, Lefize, I can explain our Gemara. Our Rambam and our Meiri. How? Says Reb Naftali. Number 7. Ubezeh yesh levar nami divra Meiri. Says Reb Naftali, Trab, now we can explain the Meiri. Why? Because what's the Yisoid? The Yisoid of Naftali is that when you have two separate mice that happen simultaneously, we don't say Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Says Reb Naftali, let's analyze mechira a little better. When you talk about a mechira, you talk about a sale. What exactly is really happening? It's a transfer of bialis, transfer of ownership. The siba sachiv of the mechira is not the throwing. The throwing is just merely a hechatimtza to create a sale. Because I can be chayiv even without throwing the object. Let's say I decide not to throw it. I walked it into your chatzah. I don't need to create the chil, the maisa mechira through a zrika. V'achiv al mashen is hava mechira. The chiv is not how I made the mechira. The chiv is that fact that I made a mechira. Everything else is just examples of how to make a mechira. V'achiv nisahu ba'ad maisa zrika. Mashenki for Shabbos, you need to be zayrik to be chai for Shabbos. So says Reb Naftali, when you break down the act of the throwing, so when the guy sits in the Rishas Ram and he throws it into the Rishas Yochid, so the Maisa Zrika, that was a Maisa Chilul Shabbos. But that Maisa Zrika was not a Maisa Chi of Mamanis. Although from that Maisa will create Mamanis, but that wasn't the Isser of Mechira. Because I didn't need that Zrika to create the Mechira. The only way to be Oivir Hoitzah is to go from one Rishas to another Rishas. The only way to create a Mechira is not by throwing it into your backyard. I didn't need the throwing to create the chalois mechira.
So how would it work if he walked it in from a rishut to a rishut?
So if he would have walked it in a way, oh, we'll see how else he could have done this not to have Shabbos. So he says, "V'choladin dekim lebe derami minehu mishum dachiyev misa barazrika." So it says with Naftali, beautiful. The whole din of kim lebe derami with Akira Tzarchanach is when one ma'isa, one zrika has two isurim in it.
You're not coming through
yet. I know. We're having trouble.
Okay.
We're working on it. All right. We're trying.
Sorry about that.
I didn't have a chance to. It's in and out. Okay. So Zakti Reb Naftali, beautiful. Once you can establish that the Zrikas HaGneva is really two separate things taking place, there is a Zrikas HaShabbos, and there's a transfer of ownership which happens through the Zrika, but the Maisa Zrika is not what's really Mechayev me for the Mechir. So he writes, "V'chol adin dekim lebe deram minehu mishum d'achiv misa ba'ara zrika v'achiv mamam ba'ara mechir rehavi b'atzachas v'loy shayich b'zeh din d'akir tzorach anachiz b'anu d'loy shayich zeh el kishishnei achiv mehem al maisa echot." That's only, you can only say akir tzorach anachiz, I do one act, and that one act creates two chivim. Here I did one act physically, but in Lomdis, they're really two separate acts. The act of throwing the Geneva over from my bet, from Rosh HaSarabim into your Rosh HaSayochid, was not what created the Isser Mechir. What created the Isser Mechira was the fact that there was a Chalois Mechira that took place between me and you. It happened that I chose the method of Izrika to do it.
But when did it happen? At what point?
No, it happened in the year. It happened when I threw it in. But my throwing it in for the Mechira is not the Isser Mechira.
And it's different than the Zorik Chaitz?
Yes. Because when you throw a Chaitz, and there's a shirt in between, so that Maisa, the Zrika Sachaitz, is what causes the Hezek. There's no other way to be mazik it without the Zrika Sachaitz. But when I throw Geneva into your Rishos, the throwing is not what makes it yours. Meaning I could have done it a lot of ways to transfer it. Therefore, says Rav Naftali, the only time we say Akir Tzorach Hanocha is when one Maisa is considered the Siba for both outcomes. But not so over here. Over here, the one Maisa Zrika is not the explanation for the Mechir and for the Chilul Shabbos. Now, if you look at number... Correct. But when you Zayrik the Chaitz, that Maisa is the reason for the Hezek. There's no other way that chetz is not going to be mazik the shirt.
But how was the person coming to this? It was because of
the... I chose to use that method. So if you look over here, number 8 of David Kviat, he makes it much clearer. He does a much better job being mazik than I could. He writes this. When we talk about mazik, you're chai for an act of hezek. Again, I throw the chetz. Shooting the chetz is a reason to be over for Shabbos. Shooting chetz is a reason for a ma'isa hezek. That is a ma'isa hezek. That's the way your mazik shirts, by shooting arrows at them. You don't need the makne to do anything. The consent. Mechira is all about consent. I want to sell, you want to buy. Imke. When we talk about selling stolen things, you're not chai for the ma'isa mechira. There's no such thing called a ma'isa mechira. The haloi gambol yizarek lagneva v'rak shaloka chalakech ba'atzmai. Let's say the guy would walk into my backyard and take it himself. Forget me. He walks into my backyard and takes the gneva and walks back into his house. Still be a mechira. There'd be no chel Shabbos there. V'rak nisratz lo ha'moicha gam kichayv. U'bahacha k'no lo yichilo ha'Shabbos. That's that hakno, that my willfulness to allow you to take my habit doesn't create chel Shabbos. Therefore, when you talk about the throwing, you're going to say that throwing created the Maisa Mechira? No. There's no such thing really as a Maisa Mechira. My throwing created that we transferred ownership through this specific act. But this Maisa doesn't have to be a Maisa that creates a Chiv Mechira.
Yeah, but your throwing ultimately will cause that.
It will cause it.
And your shooting will ultimately cause that.
So that's the difference between Mechira and Nezikin. Nezikin, the Pshat, is when I shoot an arrow, my action created that ripped shirt. That's what my action did. So that action of the Zrika created the ripped shirt.
And nothing else could have done.
Obviously, I could have walked over and ripped it.
Right.
The point is, in this box, my Zrika caused it. Masha Enke, when you talk about the Mechira, yes, I'm not denying the fact that my Zrika created the Mechira. But the point is, it didn't have to.
Right,
and it could have been done in another way. Therefore, since it didn't need to come about through this, so even though it did, we're not denying the fact, says Reb Naftali, it's still considered like two separate Maisim. Two separate Maisim, we don't say Akir Tzarech Hanoch.
So if I walked into your property, picked something up, and walked into Rishus HaRabim with it, has there Kimlay on the property?
No, that guy did two Asurim, but not me, not the Moicher.
No.
His point is the moicher is scot-free in that case. I, the Moichah, threw it. The point is, Avada, the Moichah, threw it, but the Moichah's throwing it was not what caused the Isser Mechira. The Isser Mechira, again, it took me a lot of time to think about this Nakuda. And it's, if you think about it, you can appreciate it more, as opposed to the case where you zayrik the chet, so your mice caused the hazard.
So that's also tied in with there's a lack of berachas machshavah.
No, but he's coming from a different angle over here.
No, but it's intrinsic to it, because it's saying that I could have done it any which way, and so my akira and my throwing, it wasn't really meant because of Shabbos.
He's a shtickle like the Shita Mekubetzes, but he's focusing more on the mechira part of it.
Yeah,
it's a similar idea, 100%.
Right.
You break.
That's
right.
Right. So you now have a lack of a malachas machshavas.
Correct.
Too,
correct.
Part and parcel.
So let's see Reb Chaim's teretz, which I think is the easier of the two teretzim, if not for the fact that it doesn't work out with the Rambam. So Reb Chaim comes up with a different teretz. Again, what's the kasha? Why do you say akir tzarech hanocha in ksubis, where you're talking about ripping a shirt, but you don't say so when it comes to mechira of geneva? Dr. B'chaim, number 9. V'oimah hagrach pozeh liyashiv akushio, v'chiluk bein zerik dalaramis b'shas rabim l'moitzim b'shas l'vishoros. Says Reb Chaim, you got to get the cases different. The case is clear. Our gemara is what maver dalaramis. What's the case in Baba Kamo? You're throwing from one area to a chotzer. Says Reb Chaim, that's why it's so m'shas l'vishos. Different malachas. Says Reb Chaim, our Gemara is Avaras Dalaramas. That Gemara in Baba Kamba is Hotzom Rishos L'Rishos. Okay. So what says Reb Chaim? The Bezerik Dalaramas Rishos Ravim, Kol Adalaramas, Heim Gormei Achiyov. Says Reb Chaim Lushitosoy, that we spoke about many times. Reb Chaim understands that the Isra of Avaras Dalaramas is not just pick something up in the Dalaramas, move it Dalaramas, and make sure it rested 4 Amas later. That is not the Isra of Avaras Dalaramas. The Isra of Avaras Dalaramas is every step in the Dalaramas is a Chedek of the Isra. So what? Says Reb Chaim.
How can that be, though? You're not chayiv until the last. Ein
achanami. You're not chayiv. But it doesn't mean that all along the way you're not being violating an iser. The iser is moving an object within 4 amas, and every part of that is a chelik of the iser. There's a tanai that the iser is only over when you hit
the four
mark. But it doesn't mean along the way you're not over the iser.
And if you never complete 4, there's no iser.
Ein achanami, right. But it doesn't mean that along when you did the 4 amas, each part of it was part of the Isser process. Says Reb Chaim Gevaldik. Once again, that's Chiddush number 1 for Reb Chaim. Chiddush number 2. Chiddush number 1 for Reb Chaim is one's Haitzah and one's Mazik.
This is against the Balamar.
That's correct. Very good. We're going to get to that in 2 seconds. Very good. Okay. That's on the next page. We'll see that. Says Zok Reb Chaim, if you accept my Chiddush, which not everyone agrees in the Achrayinish world, that every Dalaram is a Chelik of the Isser, says Reb Chaim, everything's beautiful now. Says Reb Chaim, now it makes so much sense why you say Akir Tzarech Hanocha. Why? Because when the chet is in the second amma, so most of us say, what's the second amma? It's meaningless. Says Reb Chaim, no, the second amma is a chelik of the iser. So when it hits the shirt in the second amma, which is already a point of iser, and it's a point of hezek, you could say Kim Levi Ramine. He says, Kimoi.
Yeah, even though there's an Isser, but there's no
Chiyah. Says Reb Chaim, Ukimoi Ba'odom, She'ochal Chelev, Ube'emta Achilosoi, Koreshiroim Shachaveroi. Says Reb Chaim, let's say a guy's eating Chelev, and while he's eating Chelev, he's ripping a shirt. The Potemashim Kimle Adiramne. Given Shachiyav Momon, Vichiyav Misa Bon Kechel. Vizesh Shaykh Rak Bidal Ramas, Bishas Ramas, Shakal Amma Va'amma, Goyrim Achiyav. It's interesting what Reb Chaim uses. Reb Chaim knows that you're not chayv until you actually go to Dalai Lamas. But Reb Chaim calls it, it's part of the Siba Sachiv. It's part of the Siba. I mean, if you want to know why am I chayv at the end, because of that Amma, and because of that Amma, and because of that, each Amma that I did is the reason why I'm chayv. Says Reb Chaim, that's enough for Kim David Ramine. Masha Avo Ben Moitzi, Mirishos L'Risho, says Reb Chaim, but what about Haitzah? Ein Iker Chiv Gormi Hachiv, Elo Haitzah, Mirishos L'Risho. Says Reb Chaim, but not so when you talk about Haitzah. No one cares about the in-between space. Right? When I throw it from Rishus HaYachot to Rishus Ramin, it goes in the ear. So who cares about the in-between? The ear is irrelevant, because that's not the Isser. The Isser is Hakira in one Rishus, Hanoch in another Rishus. What happens in between, we could care less. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, that the in-between is irrelevant. Therefore, you don't say Hakira Tzarech Hanoch. Reb Chaim is learning that Hakira Tzarech Hanoch is not the pshat that what, because I picked it up, I need to put it down. It's because while it's in root, it's Chelek of the Isser. But when I throw something from Rishus HaYachot to Rishus Ram in root in the ear, there's nothing going on there. It's like a break in the Isser. The Isser starts when I pick it up. The Isser ends when I put it down. What happens in between? Nothing. So therefore, if any moment happens in between, says Reb Chaim, it's not Kim Levi Ramini. That's Reb Chaim's chiluk.
I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time with this because
why?
At the end of the day, you're not chayiv until the end of the four.
Correct.
Like he said, if you don't complete the four, you're not chayiv.
Correct.
So who cares that each one?
Because it's
part
a
of
siva
the
for the chiyuv. It's right. Part of why you're chayiv. It creates a reason why you're chayiv. When you look back and you say, why is this chayiv? It's because he did amma 1, 2, 3, and 4. Each step along the way is a reason why he did something wrong.
Yeah, but when it hit step 1, 2, 3, and 4, there is no kimlay. The kimlay doesn't take effect till step 4.
Correct. But when it goes to this fourth step, at the middle we say, no, at this point he did a maisa that creates a chiyuv Shabbos.
We said at the end it's
tonight. It's not chatzishir exactly.
It's tonight
that it has to go dalaramis.
Right.
But when it goes, every step along the way, right. That's part of the Siba, right. Siba Sachiv.
Yeah. I just don't get it. Meaning, at the end of the day, in order to get kimlay, you have to be mechuyev.
Right.
You're right, it's part of the reason,
right.
And that's very nice in Londres.
Right.
But at the end of the day, that doesn't take effect because you're not chayev an amma 2 or amma 3.
Right, that's the chiddush. That's the chiddush vakir tzor chanacha, right?
I don't see the difference between throwing it. It's also part of the act.
But it depends how you're learning a Kiryat Tzar HaNachar. Reb Chaim was learning, not that the throwing is relevant because it only can get from here to here by going through that in between. Reb Chaim was learning that because in the in-between, you're also violating a Siba Sachiv of Shabbos. Meaning when you go in between those two Amis, you're also violating Shabbos at that point. You're not violating to the point you'll get Misi yet, but that act is a Chiyuv of Shabbos.
And when you're going from Rishus to Rishus, nothing happens till the moment.
That's correct.
Right.
There's nothing taking place.
No middle ground.
There's no middle ground.
You could do an Akira in a Rishus HaYachid, walk 100 yards.
Right.
And then
garnished happens until you make that enough.
Exactly.
Mashiach in the court of Reb Chaim, when I'm going Dal Ramas, every Amma that I'm taking is a reason why I'm violating this.
You stop at 2, you never have
That's Michael's point. If you don't go the four Amis, you're not going to be over because that's a Tanai in the Malacha. You have to go four Amis.
But you're in the middle of transgressing
an Issa.
But you're in the middle of the Malacha. But when you walk 100 yards,
right. That's what Reb Chaim calls. Reb Chaim's Lashon is, he calls it a Sibas HaGoyrim Achiv. Iker, the Goyrim Achiv. That's what Chaim's
spread. If the dog jumped up and caught the rat, whatever you're throwing on the second Amis,
right.
Then you're nothing.
That's Halacha, no?
No, I'm saying if it never ends up happening, going Dalai Lama, you're right. Again, if it never ends up happening, Dalai Lama, you're not chayiv, 100%. But the point is, when you go to Dalai Lama and you want to know why you were chayiv, so some people say you were chayiv because I picked it up and I put it down Dalai Lama. So Reb Chaim, no, you're chayiv because you traveled, you moved this object through the Dalai Lama. So if you accept Reb Chaim, everything is beautiful. Geshmak teretz. One is hoitso and one is havar. Now, there's only one problem. Reb Chaim is saying this in who? In the Rambam. So in order for this to work, it means Reb Chaim's yisoid has to be true in the Rambam. Which means the Rambam has to hold that Havar's Dal Ramas is working, that each Amma is a chelik of the Chiyav, while Hoitzah is only the Akira and the Hanach. Now, is that so posh that that's the Shita of Rambam? So if you take a look at the next page from the Stipler, they came out with this new book about the Stipler, Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Shaduchim.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let my daughter read it personally. I think some of the stories are so not negate to people in America. So they say the story, they say that Reb Chaim was dating Ablyashev's wife, Eliyashu's daughter. So the Stipler told him, you have to ask a personal question to her. Okay, a personal question. So what does he ask Rabbi Eliyashu's daughter? What's your father say to Halimut? That was a personal question. It's a beautiful story, but
is this the first date, by the way?
I don't mean to speak ill of the. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful book, but this is not the dating of America today. I deal with Talmidim that are dating. This is so not what we mean when we tell Talmidim talk personal. So it's a beautiful book, and you'll get beautiful insights. But I think it has to be handled very carefully for those that are dating today. You know, be careful with the stories that you read. You know, they're dating in Bnei Brak in the 1950s. It's not exactly New York 2022. So just
dating in Bnei Brak. Now
I'm saying, it's a great book and it makes for great stories, but I think it needs to be right. I think it needs to be much more. Maisa, Reb Chaim Kanievsky was supposed to pick up his kala from the bus, and he got engrossed in a sugya and he forgot to pick her up from the bus. That wouldn't fly today. I tell you right now, they'd call off the shidduch at the time if he forgets to pick up a girl from a bus. Who picks up a girl from a bus today? Uber is one thing. Take care. It's a beautiful book. It's very nice, but I don't think it should be learned by anyone that's in the parish for Shlom. That's what I mean to say. If all your kids are married, you can read the book. You don't have kids in the parish. But if for people that are mamish in the parish, I think it's a mistake. They're going to get very, very...
Any different than reading about the Gedolim that by 3 years old they knew?
Good, but that doesn't hurt anyone. But you're going to go into a shidduch thinking that this is, you know, they say a ma'aseh with Rabbi Yashiv's wife. That she used to wake up every morning at 3 o'clock to put up the hot water for him. And one morning she was so sick she had strep, she couldn't get out of bed. And she asked Rabbi Yashiv to do it. And Rabbi Yashiv did it, but he also got so engrossed, or Chaim Kanevsky did it, whichever gadol. And he got so engrossed that they left the water on and the whole house flooded. So she decided from now on she could never let her husband do anything in the house. You can't tell it to girls today in America. I'm saying it's not practical.
Sounds good to me.
You can tell a girl who has 103 fever strep that she still has to get out of bed and make her husband water. I mean, these are for the gedolim. You know, they say Rabbi Yashiv's wife once was in agony pain. She passed out in the middle of the night, but she wouldn't want to wake him because she knew how little he slept, so she slayed on the floor. This is not for us. These are not for people today. We can't have stories like that. It's like, I personally think it's dangerous to teach these stories. Mm-hmm. You want a girl thinking that that's the way relationships work. It's you know, just be careful when you read these books. But in any case, the Stipler. Okay. So the Stipler writes like this. No, she's not buying the book. It's a great read. So they say, what else they have in the book? They say that when the Stipler met Rabbi Yashiv to make the Shidduch, so Rabbi Yashiv had no money. They wanted him to buy the apartment, so he had no money. So Stipler had money because he sold his svarim. That's how he had some money. But Rabbi Yashiv at that time had no official position, so he had no way to promise any money for the shidduch. And he had a girl, so you got to give money. So I think the way the story goes, so the Chazon Ish told him to take a rabbinic position. If you take a rabbinic position, you'll be able to support your daughter. So he took a position, Rabbi Yashiv. He took a position so he could be able to support his daughter, Rebbetzin Kanievsky. So the funny, I told this to my wife, she was waiting to hear this part. She used to work, Rebbetzin Kanievsky worked till she had her fourth child. She did bookkeeping.
After
this is Reb Chaim Kanievsky's wife, Rebbetzin Batsheva, Rabbi Yashiv. So she used to work till she had her fourth child. She worked. And then she had her fourth kid. It was too hard. She gave up working, and that was it. So my wife asked me, "No, we have four kids. Why am I still working?" I said, "Because I'm not Reb Chaim Kanievsky." I go around, right? So again, a lot of these stories, you got to just be careful how you
read the book.
Huh?
Why did you let her read the book?
Oh no, I read the book. I told her the story. These are great books, but you just have to be careful because they're not really so practical for most of us today. And we can get chizuk and how we should one day aspire. I always tell my wife before Pesach, Rabbi Yashiv's Rebbetzin used to send him to a hotel 3 days before Pesach. Because it's so busy in the house, it's so hectic, he couldn't have a chance to learn. So I asked my wife, "No, what about me?" And she told me, "When you learn like a Belyashev, you'll get a hotel for you days before." That she's 100% right about, 100%. In any case, the Stipler, so he made a lot, he made money, he made parnasa from selling his svarim, the Kilos Yaakov. So the Stipler talks about this, Reb Chaim. And the Stipler writes like this. What was Reb Chaim's whole teretz? Reb Chaim's whole teretz was the difference between Hoitzah and Havar's Dalaram. It's very geshmaka teretz. However, says Reb Chaim, says the Stipler, what Seth pointed out before, which he can't hear me anyways. But what Seth pointed out before is that the Stipler points out that this is not so poshut. This is a very big machloikish rishonim. Why? If you guys remember, we quoted this Balamor about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Balamor Mesechah Shabbos. The Gemara Mesechah Shabbos writes that how do you know Dalai Lama is also? Dalai Lama is not one of the 39 malachas. It's not up there. So why is Havar's Dalai Lama also? So the Gemara says, Hilchas HaGemirullah. We have a Halacha L'Moshe Messina. So the Baal HaMor made a comment on that Gemara, which we put on one of the older Maror Mekayim sheets. You could take a look. The Baal HaMor says like this: Zel Lushoyin Reish Perik HaZayik. The Ma'avad Dal Ramis Rish Rabim Toldo Do Hitzohi. The Baal HaMor said that you want to know what Havaris Dal Ramis is actually a Toldo of Hitzoh, which is a big chiddush. Which means, according to the Baal HaMor, every Havaris Dal Ramis is really Hitzoh. So it's negated to let's say you want to be master someone. You want to warn someone: don't be Ma'avad Dal Ramis Rish Rabim. So what do you master him? You master him, don't go Dalai Lamas. That might not be the Shem Isser. The Shem Isser might be don't go from one Rishos to another Rishos. Now the problem is most average people will look at you and like, what are you talking about? I'm in the same area. I'm in the street. I'm not going Dalai Lamas. I'm not going from one Rishos to another Rishos. But the Baal HaMor says in Lomdis, every Havash Dalai Lamas is Haitzom Rishos Rishos. Says the Baal HaMor, Nira, the Ratzaloymer, the Hachanami Dalai Lamas shall chavit hamurach mkaimahu, ukshemoitzi chutzel lahem bezerikai bemaviki moitzi mishle yachid lirishos harabem damye. The Baal HaMor says that every Havaris Dal Ramis is really Hoitzom Rishos L'Rishos. So says the Stipler, one second.
In the same Rishos?
Yeah, in the Rishos Rabim. When you're in the Rishos Rabim, and you go from one Dal Ramis, you go within the Dal Ramis, says the Baal HaMor, all you did was you were Moitzom Rishos L'Rishos. Why? Because my Dal Ramis is my Rishos. Now when it goes out of my Dal Ramis, it went to someone else's Rishos. So it's Moitzom Rishos L'Rishos.
Why didn't your Rishos keep continuing as you go?
Because the Gemara says you only have Dal Ramis and Rishos Rabim.
No. I'm saying my Dal Ramis is here in Rishos
Rabim. Right, and that's where the I threw it.
Oh, you threw it.
Yeah, I threw it. No.
I thought you were carrying it.
No, he says the case. He says over here, right? He says, Ukeshemoitzi chutzalahem, when you go out of it, bezoirik oibe mavir. Again, it might create a new Dalai Lamas.
Okay, but we got to be carrying
it. Right.
Because
right.
It would keep moving.
It might start again.
Right.
But let's say bezoirik. A guy throws it. So once it gets out of my Dalai Lamas, I now threw it from my backyard to Yanim's backyard. That's the Baal HaMor's chiddush. So he writes, says the Stipler, that doesn't work with Reb Chaim. Now, it's not such a kasha because Reb Chaim wasn't saying it in the Baal HaMor. Reb Chaim was saying it in the Rambam. But we have a problem with that. If you remember, we wanted to say that the Rambam seems to have held like this Balamor. So the Stipler finishes off and he says that this Balamor is against Reb Chaim. Because again, Reb Chaim is based on the premise that Hoitzah Merishos L'Rishos is fundamentally different than Havaris Dal Ramis. However, here the Balamor is saying, no, they're not different. It's actually a toldo of Hoitzah. It's a subcategory of Hoitzah every single time you marry Dal Ramis. However, there's another Rambam that we need to talk about. Number 11. This is a very interesting Rambam. Dr. Rambam. So again, Reb Chaim is saying this in the Rambam. So we'll learn in Machlokes Mishnayim. The Baal HaMor learns every Avaris Dal Ramis is Moitzi Mishos L'Rishos. While the Rambam would say not like that. No problems. However, there's another Rambam. Dr. Rambam number 11. Hamavir Arba Amis B'Shus HaRabim Zu Im Rishus HaRabim Hashniya. Very strange case. You have two Rishus HaRabims and a Rishus HaYochah between the two of them. Right? So you have one Rishus... Lebedek, okay. You have two Rishus HaRabims. In between the two Rishus HaRabims runs a Rishus HaYochah. So says the Rambam, Hamavir Arba Amis B'Rishus HaRabim Zu Im Rishus HaRabim Hashniya. I did Dal Ramis combining two Rishus HaRabims. Chayiv, Neisha Arba Amis B'Shtei Rishuyas HaRabim Mitztarfin B'Nei Shaloi Noach HaChev Viz B'Rishus HaBinim. Says the Rambam, let's say I go two Amis in this Rishus HaRabim, I walk through a Rishus HaYochah, then I do another two Amis in the next Rishus HaRabim, Chayiv HaVarash Dal Ramis. That's the Rambam.
You're already chayiv from Rishus to Rishus. You went from
Rishus. One second. Again, you never made Hanoch in the Rishus HaYochid. You never made Hanoch in the Rishus HaYochid. You did two Amos. You have to try to visualize the case. You have some form of a public area, then you have some private backyard, and then you have another. You go through someone's backyard. No, you're walking. You're walking. You never made Hanoch in the Rishus HaYochid. No, well, believe that, that's the next Gemara we have to learn about, the famous sheet of Ben Azai. Ben Azai holds every step is considered a new Akim and Anach. We'll believe that there, one of these things we'll get to that. But in this case, you keep on walking. You do two Amis, Rishus HaYochid, two Amis. So like the Rambam Chayv. What does this Rambam show us? So if you take a look over here, number 12, in the Tetzos Chayim. So Rav Nachum Zemmer, we could spend a lot of time talking about Rav Nachum Zemmer. It's one of the most fascinating Gedolim of the Holocaust era. Mm. And the reason why he's so fascinating is because all we have from him is this little sefer called Tetzos Chaim. If you ever learn Shabbos, all the yeshivas, it's like you have a Gemara, you have a Kovitz, and you have a Tetzos Chaim. It's mamash learned like one of the Rishonim, one of the classical Sfarim. But he wrote 10,000 pages worth of notes of Torah. 10,000 pages. He has a Pirush on Rambam, he had a Pirush on Yerushalmi. None of that we have. Nothing survived. The only thing survived was this little pamphlet. It's got like, I don't know, 10 simonim, short little simonim, Tetzos Chaim from Menachem Zemba. The godless of Menachem Zemba is that we don't know where he stood on the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto. We know Menachem Zemba was killed on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, 1943 in the Warsaw Ghetto, running from one building to another during the uprising of the ghetto. What's still up for very, very hot debate in the political world was, did he agree, did he give askoma to the uprising or not? This is a very, very big machloikis amongst the historians. Did Rebbe Menachem Zemba actually sanction the uprising or did he not? So Reb Simcha Elberg, who he was a Talmud of Rebbe Menachem Zemba before the war, he swears up and down Rebbe Menachem Zemba would have never, ever, 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 ever given sanction to such a thing. He knew him, it was his Rebbe, he spent time by him, he says, Kenneth Zayn, he would ever sanction such a procedure. Reb Henkin writes like that. Reb Henkin says, he doesn't quote Reb Menachem Zemba by name, but he says he can't imagine any god would sanction such an activity.
Why?
The uprising made no sense. Api derech hateva, we didn't stand a chance against the Germans. Even though we lasted longer than the Polish army. It's pretty amazing. But they think that there's no way. However, there's a fellow called Hillel Seidman. He wrote a whole sefer where he claims, no, he was there, he saw, Reb Menachem Zemba said, we have to do it. No one knows. Adiyem Ezeh, it's not clear. Did Reb Menachem Zemba sign up for it? Did he not? Oh, there's a third version, which is even more controversial. They say that they kind of forced Reb Menachem Zemba to give his askama by gunpoint. The Mamash put a gun to Menachem Zemba's head and said, listen, you better sign off, because you're a big rabbi, and we want to get the Orthodox people on board, so you sign the dotted line. I don't know.
What was he before in that?
He was, at the 1935, he became one of the big rabbanim in Warsaw. So he was in the Warsaw ghetto. They respected him. He was well known in the ghetto. I don't know. It's hard to know. There's no... They don't have any haychachas about this. They're still back and forth about it. You know, Simcha Elberg has no right. He just says, I know him as my Rebbe, and Mimela, I can't imagine he'd say that. Okay, that's, I've heard a lot of people say what they think their Rebbe holds, and they're sometimes off, very off. So I don't know. It's hard to know for sure. There are witness testimony of people says they were there. He has a whole chiddush of Menachem Zemba. He holds that if it would be like during the Crusades that they're killing us because of the religion, if we'd convert, they wouldn't kill us. No, maybe. But he says over here, it's a whole different battle. They're not killing us because of our religion. They're killing us because no matter what we do, they're going to kill us. Even if you convert to Christianity, they'll still kill you. So Nachum Zemel held, then Kiddush Hashem dictates that you fight back. That was his Kiddush. Okay. I don't know. Lamaisa, he got shot, and he was first buried in the ghetto. Then in the mid-1950s, they reburied him in Eretz Yisrael. So they say, you can go to the archive, that day in Knesset, there was a moment of silence when they reburied Menachem Zemba in Eretz Yisrael in 1958, I think it was. So it's a big shiloh. It's very much totally. Right, but the problem was, and this could be they didn't know. The problem was there were many people that had very good hiding spots in the ghetto and probably would have survived the war. But because of the uprising, they basically burned down the entire ghetto. All those people died as well. So it could be Reb Nachum Zemba didn't know that. I don't know. I don't know how much. It's very easy for us to play, you know, a Monday morning quarterback. But that was the Metzius. The Metzius was once they basically burned down the entire ghetto, many, many people that had very good hiding spots ultimately died. Could be he didn't know that. Right. Obviously, there is some svara of if you could protect. But I'm always in the spall. How they were able to get weapons. We're talking about in a ghetto over here. We're talking about, it's not like you can go to the black market and just get guns on the street. They had a whole system. There was a lot of goyness involved. Again, it wasn't led predominantly by Orthodox Jews. There's still a lot of goyness involved in how they did what they did and how they were able to hold off the Nazis as long as they did, which itself is a chiddush. But this is told in the Hoshael about celebrating Yom HaShoah. That's part of the tumult. Is it Yom HaShoah V'Hagavura? What are we celebrating? That's where it gets a little bit more on the political side. What was the godless of the Warsaw uprising of the Warsaw? In any case, Reb Nachum Zemel left us with this small little sefer. Halavai, we'd have more from him, but he left us with this Teitzos Chaim, which is religiously learned in all the yeshivas. So he writes like this: the Yeshul is boinin. The Hinei had Rambam. Says Reb Nachum Zemel, let's look at this Rambam. Kosav Hamavid al Rambus Mishusarab Mzui Mishusayochid Hasheni Chayif. The says of Nachum Zemba, Neshet Al Rambam, Bishnei Rishuis, Harambam, Mitzarefis. Again, quotes our Rambam. So he quotes the Ralbag, the Kavonas Harambam Bezeh, Shedikdek Shed Al Rambam, Bishnei Rishuis, Harambam, Mitzarefim. The Rambam was very careful in what he said. He said, You have two Rishuis Harambams, and you got two from each one of the two Rishuis Harambams. What? Loimah, Doloi Sagi im Tchilose Rishuis Harambam, Visoife Rishuis Harambam. Why can't it be, I picked it up in Rishuis Harambam, walk through a Rishus HaYochid and put it down in a Rishus HaRabim. Why couldn't that have been sufficient? Favors Dal Ramis. Says Reb Nachum Zemba, Kigoyinim Hivish Dayamis Rishus HaRabim. Va'ama Rishus HaYochid, Va'ama Rishus HaRabim L'Bsoif. What would have happened if I did like this? I started off with Havaras, two Amas in Rishus HaRabim. Then I did an Amo in Rishus HaYochid. And then another Amo in Rishus HaRabim at the end. Says Ella, Be'inon L'chiyuvish Yikola Dal Ramis Rishus HaRabim. I need to have all Dal Ramis in a Rishus HaRabim. It's not enough that the object moved four Amis through a Rishus HaRabim. I need that the object moved four Amis specifically in a Rishus HaRabim. V'atam Rishum Duchol Maisa HaMalocha Be'inon Shetei B'mokim Chiyuva Dahenu Rishus HaRabim. Everything has to happen in Rishus HaRabim. It's not enough that the object is moved. It has to be moved in a Rishus HaRabim. It's moved four Amis in Rishus HaRabim. Avoloi Mahani Rishus HaYochid Shemei Time Rishus HaYochid doesn't help.
So what does it mean? It like breaks up the Ritzifus?
No. His point is, why can't I use that? Now the object moved four Amos. At Grad, I used three from the Rishus HaRabim and one from the Rishus HaYochid, but it's four Amos later. Right. It moved four Amos distance.
Okay.
So it doesn't work. Ulam harabag choylik sham. The daita, the kivan, the tchilos Rishus HaRabim, the soifer Rishus HaRabim, avsha harishus shemetayim Rishus HaYochid, chayiv. Unbelievable. Says Menachem Zemel, some people disagree. Why? The Rishus HaYochid mashvim hashir. The Rishus HaYochid helps make up the amount. The Taimoi, the Sova ki havoga shebeemtza ein a chelik me hamalacha. If you hold that the moving in between is not a chelik of the malacha, ela inyan malachas havoga b'shus harabim hu ma shenetek hachevet mitchila shel adal ramis l'soifon. Says Reb Nachum Zemel, break down the iser. If the iser is picking something up in Rishus HaRabim and having it plop down later, four amis later in Rishus HaRabim, then I have it over here. I picked it up in Rishus HaRabim. And moved four Amos, and I plopped it down in Rishus HaRabim.
I went the Rishus HaYachid in the middle, stop it, and start it again.
No, he's saying no. But if you hold the whole Malach, if the Halach is just Akira and the Anacha later, picked up in Rishus HaRabim, put down Rishus HaRabim, moved four Amos, you got that. I was between Rishus HaYachid, who cares? So he says, Mushumachil Ichbuslan Mash Eine Be'emsa Rishus HaRabim Atzmo. Ayn Shom Boyrich Besefer Makevis HaMishnah, he came and writes the Rishus HaRabim.
How is this the same as Riko? The case of walking, it can't be.
Okay, a guy picks up the.
But the case of walking, it's in your total control. the reason we're saying Zrika is because it's not in your control. So you assume
that's a technical problem. That'll be a technical problem about the difference between Zrika and Havara, when you could take it back, when you take, like the Gemara said, Zrika you could take back, Havara you can't take back. But the Chiddush over here is that according to this, so says the Rebbe Nachum Zemba, that's not Pshat in the Rambam, which means the Rambam holds that what is the Malacha of Shabbos? The Malacha of Shabbos, how does it work? The Malacha of Shabbos, according to the Rambam, means you have to do four Amos Sachakol in Rishus Rabbam. You got to do two here, break two here.
So Reb Chaim is fine.
So this is a right to Reb Chaim or not like Reb Chaim? So this.
He says each four Amos you need all. And he's got them all.
So L'chayro, this Rambam is a right, not like the Baal Amor.
Right.
According to the Baal Amor, all we should care about is Akira and Hanocha. Vizahu. I picked up Rishus Rabbam, it moved four Amos, I put it down Rishus Rabbam, I'm Chayv. The Rambam is saying you're not Chayv.
What if you went two Amos and then walked back the same two Amos and put it back right there where you started?
Then you
didn't
go four Amos.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that would be considered going Dal Amos. I'm not sure. I don't know. So the this Rambam is a raya against the Baal Amor, which is beautiful. Which is the Rambam holds not like the Baal Amor.
And Reb Chaim is fine.
And Reb Chaim is beautiful.
Right.
Only one problem, one more Rambam. Now, the Stipler points this out. Number 13 says the Stipler. Meharamba mashma deloy sovek ke Baal Amor. Says the Stipler, I think that the Rambam doesn't hold like the Baal Amor. Why? Our Rambam that he quotes. Exactly like Reb Menachem Zemba pointed out from this Rambam, that the Rambam holds you need to do two Amos in Rishus Rabbim, two Amos in Rishus Rabbim. You need to have Havaras Dal Amos in Rishus Rabbim. It's not enough to have an Akira in Rishus Rabbim and Hanochim Rishus Rabbim. So this Rambam is beautiful. Everything's Gevaldik. The Rambam holds like the way Reb Chaim learns. Both Rambams are Lishitosoi, and the Baal Amor is not like the Rambam. Beautiful. One problem. Number 14. Zokti Rambam, Mepia Shmua, we learned Mepia Shmua, Shahamavi Rishus Arabim, Mitchilas Arba, Lesoif Arba, Harehu Kimoitzi, Merishus, Lerishus Vachayev. What does that sound like to you?
Wait, what's
Mepia Shmua? We have a tradition, like Hilchos HaGemira.
Okay.
He's repeating the words of the Gemara.
Okay.
Says the Rambam that what? That Dalet Amos works like Haitza, Merishus, Lerishus. That's like who? That's like the Baal Amor. So we just got finished telling us there's two Rambams according to Reb Chaim that argue on the Baal Amor and hold that Dalet Amos is fundamentally different than Haitzah. And then the Rambam drops this on us. So the Rambam, he's talking about Havara. He says, Havara is Kimoitzi Merishus L'Rishus V'Chayiv. What do we do now?
What does he really mean by that? Does he really mean within this
whole... I would think so, right? So what I think the answer is like this, Rabbi. I think the Rambam doesn't mean it's working with the same lumdus. I think the Rambam means like this. Every Haitzah that we show him talk about is Daf Beis and Shabbos. Haitzah is Malacha Geruah. Why is that so Malacha Geruah? Because you don't really change the object. There's no Shinah to the object. So I think that's what the Rambam is bavarning. The Rambam is bavarning that Havar's Dal Ramas has the same problem as Haitzah Mirushos Mirushos. Just like when I go Mirushos Mirushos, the object doesn't change. There's no Shinah in the Chetzah. So too when I go Havar's Dal Ramas. Zok the Rambam, don't worry about that. That's not a problem. Mipi Hashmua, Zok the Rambam, we have a tradition that just like when you go Dal Ramas, you're not changing the object, just like when you're Moitz Mishus Mishus, you don't change the object. The Rambam is not telling you that the lumbus of the Malacha is the same. The Rambam's come to Bavor in a different problem.
Because you might have come to think that since you're going from Rishus to Rishus, that might
be. Right, meaning maybe when you go from one Rishus to another, that's considered an Ofsat Shinui in the Chefetz. Zok the Rambam, nah, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. Which means, Lefiza, all the Rambams are all on the same page. They're all against the Baal Amor, and Reb Chaim's Teretz is still very Gishma. Okay, Adkan, a little bit of this. Now, the next Amud we have in Ksubis, we're going to have to figure out what to do. The next Amud is all Shabbos related. So we're more related to Shabbos. So we're going to go through it, I think, relatively quickly, 1 or 2 weeks. And then, Belineda, we're going to start the sugya of Loikivayin Mishalim, which is the main sugya in Ksubis. That's going to be on Daf Lamed Beis. So next week, we'll probably go through some of the Shabbos Gemaras.
So that means we're done with Kimla?
We're never done with Kimla.
Okay.
Never done with Kimla. If you learn the third fact of Ksubis, you're never done with Kimla. But then it's going to be more Shabbos based than it's going to be anything else. So we have to see some interesting things, but it's going to be more.
So what you